Joshua 20 and verse 8. This is the sixth city of refuge that we will be looking at, and this will be the last one that is given to us in Scripture. Joshua 20 and 8. Listen to what it says. And beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, as we look at this topic this morning, of this word, what it means, we ask, Lord God, that we would be able to have this. That we would be able to have this peace that it talks about. And so, Lord, this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would just move in our hearts. Lord, show us this. Maybe we feel like we've lost that peace. Or maybe we have it. Or maybe we're kind of in limbo with it, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that to us this morning. We love you and we thank you. May your spirit do what my tongue could not. May it touch the hearts of those that are here in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is our last city according to Joshua in chapter 20. There are six in total. These have been topical messages. This has been a study about the cities of refuge. Mostly I have taught on these over Wednesday nights. But I want to finish it this morning because we taught this past Wednesday night on the fifth one. We have recapped this, what they mean, what they stand for, the point, the talking points about them. We've done it five times, and so I'm not going to stop on the sixth one. So we're going to recap what they are, what they mean, what they are for. What are the cities of refuge for? They're a place for it, place of protection, right? Amen? They were forgiving places. You ever been to a forgiving place? It starts with Christ Jesus, doesn't it? He is a forgiving place. And so all of the points point to Jesus. They were for the Jew and Gentile. Praise God that Jesus didn't come just for the Jew. If he did, we'd all be out of luck. But he came for the Jew and the Gentile. We can run to him and find refuge. Complete protection against the crime set against them. We have complete protection in the soul against the crime that's been committed against us, which is sin. We have that, and we have that protection only in Christ. The priest's life and death determine their freedom, and so did Christ Jesus. He determines our freedom. His life, him living perfectly and for 33 years, and his death, burial, and resurrection, it is the only through that determines our freedom. Easy access. They could get there. And so Jesus is just as close to me as he is to you. Easy access. They're easy to get there. They were marked clearly. Jesus has been marked clearly all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and even now for the past 2,000 years. Ministers have been preaching the gospel. It has not changed from since the beginning and back in Genesis. The path has been made clear. Is anybody with me this morning, or are you still cold? Please. Easy access, they were marked clearly. Safety could be found in the farthest extremity of the city, just like it could be found in the center. All of these facts point to Christ. The names of the cities point to Christ, not only in meaning, but also in order. Not only in meaning, but also in order. We know that the names point to Christ Jesus. The very first one is Kadesh, holiness. Holiness. The second one is Shechem, or shoulders, saddle, burden-bearing part of the back. The third one is Hebron, or fellowship and association. The fourth one is what? Bezer, the fortified strong place, something that's dug down deep, a firm foundation. And the fifth one is Ramoth, a high place, something that is higher than ourselves. Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I. And the sixth one this morning is Golan. Golan means peace. Today our topic is peace. I'm going to give you the order in which we're going to look at this so you don't get confused, because during topics, a lot of times people will try to take things out of context to prove their point. Well, I'm going to take the word Golan and show us how it relates to Christ, how it relates to us. We will look at peace this morning in the world. Well, we will see how we get or how we acquire peace. And then we will look at how to keep it. We will see what we're supposed to do with it. And then finally, we will tie all the names in order together to close out the study. All six names. So we've got our work cut out for us this morning. We got our work cut out, so I want you to pay attention to me. First, peace in the world. You've heard the term peace in the Middle East. Richard Nixon did this, didn't he? Hey, peace, right? All right. We got a little silly symbol that means peace. That the 70s really overdone. But I want you to understand that right now the world in which we live is not a peaceful place at all. It's not a peaceful place. But in all actuality, it's never really been a peaceful place, has it? Ecclesiastes 2 and 8 says that there's a time for war, but there's also a time for peace. You see that peace follows war. And so without one, you can't have the other a lot of times. And so to this concept of peace in our world is crazy, because a lot of times it's just based on war and who flexes their muscles the biggest and who wins. If the world was a peaceful place, we wouldn't need peacekeepers, would we? Duh. We wouldn't need peacekeepers. We wouldn't need the police department. We wouldn't need the sheriff's department. We wouldn't need the military. And we wouldn't need 100 different organizations to try to bring peace to a fallen, sin-filled world, would we? It would be a utopia. We could just go, hey, everything's peaceful. But that's not the case, and that's not true. Jesus Christ even tells us, in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. Tribulation, folks, is not peace. Tribulation is hard times. It is not easy. So really, the idea of the world being a peaceful place is not realistic, nor is it accurate, is it? It's not. So what is the scripture talking about when we see peace? What is it talking about? That's what we're going to get to this morning. As a church and as individuals, we have to realize that the tribulation that is all around us has always been. It has always been here. Look at the news. Or don't. I'd rather you not. Why? I'd rather you not look at it. Why? Because it may not bring peaceful things to your mind. Because this is not a peaceful place. And this is not anything new. And I want to just settle your hearts this morning. Because mine has been really upset about all this election junk and everything that's going on in our media. I mean, my heart has just been really going crazy about this. But I want to settle your heart this morning. This is not anything new. We are not catching Jesus off guard, and the church is not going under. Do we find it just a little bit odd or funny or even a little bit peculiar that we were born for this? Think about it. Were you born 200 years ago? Nope. You were born now. Do you think that the Lord had something in mind for us being born now and in this time? Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to get off of this thing of, oh, everything's just going to hell. It's not. It's not. There's tribulation and persecution. Tribulation and persecution going on. The Lord has us here in this time and in this place for a reason. The Lord knew that we would be born for such a time as this. That's exactly what happened with Queen Esther, right? For such a time as this. Don't say I should have lived back then or years ago or I missed my day. That's not right. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for us now, for our lives right now, in the day in which we live right now. If the world right now needs peace, if the world around us right now needs peace, if America needs peace, then it will have to come from you and me, the children of God. That's the only way. So we see that the way that we measure peace is not by the way that the world measures it. And we're going to get into how we measure it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Esther, I'm sure didn't like it any when King Nebuchadnezzar uprooted them, took them out of their homes, enslaved them, changed their names, tried to change their diet, changed their clothes, changed everything that they knew, how they learned it, where they learned it, kept them in bonds. I'm sure they didn't like it any. But it still happened to them, didn't it? I don't like what's going on right now, but it's still happening, isn't it? And so the thing is that we have to realize is that we have been born for this time. We've been born for this time, just like Esther, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just as it was their time to bring glory, it is now our time to bring God glory. Christians need to wake up to this, including myself. We need to quit bellyaching about how bad it is, including myself. We need to quit bellyaching about each party, including myself, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, whatever it is, I don't care. We got to quit all of it. Why? Because it's time to bring God glory instead. America has missed what's going on. Our government, yes, is bad and it is corrupt. But the last time I checked, we are working for Christ's government. We are under Him. And I want you to also notice that even if there was peace to be attained in this world and in our country for a season, and this is where the heart of the matter comes in at, even if we could obtain peace in the United States of America or overseas or abroad, if we could obtain it and keep it, that does not mean that we will have peace in the inner man. Right or wrong? Right. The world's peace does not bring us peace on the inside. The true peace that the inner man craves and desires to calm his spirit, to settle his innermost being, can only be found in Christ, Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Only in His government that rests upon His shoulders. If you are looking for peace in the world, you will not find it. It is not obtainable for the inner man. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that gives it out. He is the author and perfecter of it. He gives it to us. And if you're looking anywhere else, you will not have it. The inner man desires and it craves peace. And we try to find it elsewhere. We know the first thing, the first point that we see is that the world's peace and ours is not the same. The sixth city of refuge this morning absolutely points to Jesus in the fact that it means peace, and that only in Jesus, when we flee to Him, can we have this inner peace. The second thing that I want you to see, let's see how we get it, how we acquire this peace, and how it only comes from the Lord. We know that it's a fruit of the Spirit that comes through faith in the only begotten Son of God. First and foremost, to have peace, we have to be children of God. We have to trust in Jesus. That's it. That's what we go to first. Listen to what it says in Romans 5 and 1. I read it earlier. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that peace only comes to us through faith in Jesus. That's it. A person must be saved to get peace. Jesus is the only one that can calm and bring peace. The Scripture talks about the one that's just kind of crazy on the inside as the sea that constantly hits the beach. And it just foams and it just turns and it never stops. Before I was a child of God, that was my heart. I was in torment. I didn't have any peace. Nothing would bring me peace. Waves in the world just kept crashing on me. My own sin kept crashing on me. Foaming on the inside. It was turbulent. I didn't have peace. It's only through Christ. And Luke chapter 8, turn there with me and we'll spend the majority of the morning here. This is one thing about topical messages is that you can go to other texts and key in on those peaceful moments or whatever it's relating to. And we're going to do that here in the life of this man. Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin there in 22. Remember, the second point was, let's see how we get it. How we acquire this peace. It only comes from the Lord. Luke chapter 8, 22 and following is all about peace. It's all about it. And we're going to look at that. Listen to what it says. Luke chapter 8, 22, beginning there in 22. Do you want calm and do you want peace in your life? Well, if you are lost, you can have calm and you can have peace. Let me show you and let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In verses 22 through 25, we see a foretaste of what Christ is fixing to do in the following verses. Listen to what it says in 22 through 25. Remember, this is just outside of the narrative. This is just a foretaste of what's fixing to happen. Listen to what it says in 22. Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. Pretty cool. He's taking a nap. He was tired. He did a lot, man. He was taking a nap. He fell asleep in a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake. And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to him and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. They're basically saying, why are you sleeping? The boat is going down. He had already promised them that they're going to the other side. But they had lack of faith. They said, well, Jesus doesn't know what's going on. He's asleep. We're going to all die. 24. And they came to him, they woke him up, Master, Master. And he aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. It became peaceful. 22 through 25 is there's a story there, and it's an awesome story. But it also shows us what is fixing to happen in the passages that are to come. Jesus traversed land and sea to save one of his. And this wild Gadarene was absolutely one of his children. And he was going to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he crosses and he calms the sea and he calms the waves. He shuts her down. He's the only one that can bring peace. Wind and waves. Listen to what it says in 26. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes. Great. That's a hard one. And it doesn't say that in the King James. It's pronounced differently. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he had come out into the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house, but was in the tombs. What's happening? Christ goes to save, to seek and to save one of His. It wasn't by accident that He went across the Sea of Galilee to go into the land of the Gentiles. It was not by accident that He did this. He went over there to seek and to save on purpose one of His. But I want us to see the one that came to Him was wild. He was like us before we are saved. And let me explain it to you. Let me go back. 27 tells us about a wild man, and this wild man, he was absolutely full of demons. Listen to what it said about him. He had demons in him a long time. Long time. He wore no clothes. He had no home. He lived among the tombs. He kept company with the dead. He was violent towards others and himself, and he could not be bound or subdued by man's work. This man had zero peace. Do we see that? He was demon possessed. He was full of demons. He had zero peace. And the inner man is just as tumultuous as this, isn't it? As this wild Gadarene, the inner man outside of Jesus Christ, the only one that can give peace, is just as tumultuous as this. Before the peace of God comes into our lives, we're full of many, many, many evils. Just as this man was full of many demons. And I don't care what anybody says. The heart is deceitful and it is desperately wicked. We're full of many, many, many evils. We are naked before the Lord, spiritually unclothed. Do we understand that? We see that perfectly clear from Genesis in chapter 3. Who told you that you were naked? God told Adam and Eve. Spiritually unclothed. Not able to stand before God. Shameful. Full of guilt, spiritually unclothed, wandering among the dead, keeping company with the spiritually dead. You know, when a person is saved, a lot of times the company that they keep changes, doesn't it? This man was wandering among the tombs. He was spiritually dead, and he was wandering among those that were spiritually or physically dead. He felt home with them. That's where they wanted to be at. Spiritually dead people will be around other people that are spiritually dead. Being violent and unrestrained towards others. Before a person is saved, they are violent and unrestrained. The Scripture teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is self-control. This man had zero self-control. Another fruit of the Spirit that we have through faith in Jesus Christ is peace. And he had neither one of them, nor did he have joy. He was tormented by the demons that were in his life. And the spiritually dead, this man that was spiritually dead, he could not be bound. Nor can the one that is not saved. I don't care what you do. You can put legalism on him. You can put all of man's works on him, all that you want. But a person that is lost, you cannot bind by God's grace. You can't do it. Only Jesus can. They'll break the fetters. They'll break the chains. You can't subdue the wild at heart. Only Jesus is able to do that. This man, they tried to tie him up. They tried to bind him because he was hurting himself. But to no avail. He broke those bonds and he took off to the dead. You You'd have better luck roping the moon with a lariat, subduing it, and putting it in your wall at night into the outlet to light your house up than you would subduing the wild at heart that doesn't have Jesus. It can't be done. Jesus is the only one that can bring true, genuine peace. You cannot subdue the wicked heart. Third, now let's look at how to keep it full in our lives. We see that it's only through Christ. Let's read our text, 28. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, Son of the Most High, I beg you, do not torment me. For he had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would burst his fetters and be driven by demons into the desert. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons have entered him. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain. And the demons entreated him to permit them to enter into the swine. The demons were like, No, don't cast us into the abyss. Don't do that. Put us into the swine. And he gave them permission. And the demons came out from the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. Verse 35. Listen to what it says. And the people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus. So we see in 26 through 34 that it's only Jesus that is able to expel these things out of our life, right? Yes or no, everybody, please. Only Jesus can do this. That's right. And so now listen to what happens. To continue in this peace and to continue walking in this peace, watch what happens. Third, now let's look at how to keep it full in our lives. Scripture's spelling it out for us this morning. 35, and the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. For the child of God that doesn't have peace or that has lost peace, I want you to see this morning that it can be obtained. And it's right here in 35. Listen to what it says. And the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. This man was at the feet of Jesus, sitting there. What was he doing? He was listening. He was learning. He was loving. He was being taught. He was experiencing what it was like to be one in their right mind and to have true, genuine peace. But I want us to see that that peace comes at a cost. And it comes at a cost. And let me tell you what the cost is. The cost is spending time with the Lord. Our society nowadays has got us running in 9 zillion different directions. And today, Jesus says, just sit with me. This is one reason why I love my new Bible, that one-year Bible that I have so much, that Casey bought for me, is because I get to sit down and for 30 minutes, I get to read Scripture that has nothing to do with my sermon for fun. And experience the love of Christ right from His Word. To meditate on it, to mull it over and to think about it. To sit at His feet and to listen. How do we keep this peace full in our lives? The answer is simply put in 35, by sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His words, learning who He is, experiencing His love firsthand. You find someone that is not peaceful and you find someone that's a child of God that is outside of the peace. I'll show you someone that's not reading their Bible, that's not praying, that's not serving the Lord, that's not doing what they're supposed to do as a Christian. Psalms 119 and 165, listen to what it says. Those who love your law have great peace. Y'all catch that? Those who love the Word of God have great peace. We can take a lesson away from verse 35 here with this crazy man, can't we? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he had great peace. Well, Psalms 119, 165 tells us, those who love the law, the Lord's law, have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Or in other words, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are kept on you. So we see that obtaining this peace and keeping it full in our life is not as hard as what we think. And I'm so glad for what Casey had done for me, buying me that Bible, because it actually goes along with this sermon. Because this was something that I was missing in my own life that I needed to correct. Instead of trying to get sermons, instead of trying to get words, sit down at the feet of Jesus and experience His love. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Those that sit at the feet of Jesus daily, listening, learning, and practicing, will find themselves full of peace. And that peace will pass all understanding. All the land around can fall into the ocean, but those that have their minds on the Lord can lay their heads down in peace and sleep. Psalms 4:8. Peace was only granted to the innocent manslayer. Listen, guys. Going back to the cities of refuge. Peace was only granted to the manslayer that was innocent when he breached the wall of the city and stayed there. You see what I'm telling you? When he stayed there. As in when we stay with Christ. At His feet. Peace was granted to him then when he stayed there. Now I'm going a little bit long this morning. It's 12 o'clock, but I want you to pay attention. Because I'm not done. Not even close. So if you need to get up and rub your arms around and do calisthenics to get warm, that's fine. I got 15 more minutes, so just bear that in mind. So we keep this peace by close fellowship with the Lord. And then what do we do with it once we have it? Let's go on to the fourth thing, because I think this is really clear as well. What do we do with it when we have it? Listen to what it says. Let's continue to read. 36, and we're going to go to 39. And those who seen it reported to them how the man who was demon possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country, the Gerasenes, that is a hard one, and the surrounding district asked him to depart from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away saying, or in other words, Christ sent him away saying, go spread what you've seen. Go spread what's happened to you. Listen to what it says. Remember, I told you that if the world is going to have peace, it has to come from the children of God. It has to come from the church. Listen to what it says, Luke 8:39. Return to your house. Jesus keys in first on the home. Return to your home and tell it there. Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. What do we do with it? We go and we proclaim the great things of Christ. And it must start in the home. And it must start with our families. And I dare say it must start with our daddies. And I'm guilty of this. It has to start at the home. We will keep this peace up in our lives by listening, by learning, by applying, by living, and being obedient to share it with others. How dare the church of the living God keep their light under a bushel and not share it with those in the world and in the home? Fifth and finally, how do we tie all of these names together? How do we make sense of all of this in order? I told you that the names point to Jesus, that the facts about the cities point to Jesus, but I'm going to show you this morning in order how they point to Christ Jesus and what He's done for us in our life. The first one was Kadesh. The first city means holiness. I want you to listen to me, church. We must recognize first that Jesus Christ is the express image of the glory of God, and that He is holy, and that we are not outside of His grace. So the first things first, before anything else there was, before anything else, there was the holiness of God, the triune God, there out in eternity, and it was holy, beautiful, and perfect. Very first thing that we have to recognize when coming to the Lord Jesus is that we are that He is holy and that we are not. And the first city is holiness, Kadesh. The second one, once we realize the standard is holiness, once we realize that, then we realize that we can't do this by ourselves. And that our sins have to be taken off of us, and they have to be carried, and they have to be packed, and they have to be offloaded onto something else or someone else, namely Christ Jesus. The second city is Shechem, shoulder bearing or upper part of the back or saddle. He was built to carry our sins, and He took them all the way to the cross to do away with them. Not only does He carry our sins, but He also carries us, does He not? Did He not find the one sheep that was lost and put it on His shoulders, lifting it from the world and placing it with Him? Absolutely. So we see the second one is Shechem, meaning burden bearing. Third, after our sins have been taken away, we will see ourselves not only in relationship with the God and the Creator of heaven and earth, but association or fellowship with the Lord. Daily fellowship with the Lord. Once we see He's holy, once our sins have been taken, we have association with Him, which is Hebron. And then you jump over to the east side of the Jordan River. After Hebron, we have Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. The first one there, or the fourth one really, is Bezer. Bezer shows us a fortified stronghold. This is something that we can stand upon after we have relationship and association, fellowship with Christ Jesus. We see that He is something that we can stand upon. He is a firm foundation that cannot be rocked. You can't tunnel underneath it. You can't dig it up. You can't throw it out. It is steadfast and it is everlasting. He is the Ancient of Days, the firm foundation, the chief cornerstone, the rock underneath the rock. That is Jesus. And He is the one that we are to stand upon. Bezer shows us a fortified stronghold. Then the fifth one that we have. And it goes from the lowest to the highest. And I love this. First in rank and order. Preeminence in all things. Christ Jesus is the high one. There's none higher than Him. We have safety, we have security in the rock that is higher than ourselves, our high tower, Jesus Christ. And so not only do we have that firm foundation, not only do we have that high place, that high tower, but finally when we realize this, finally when we come into that fellowship with Him, we have Golan, which is peace. But that peace can only be had through Christ and spending time with Him. Amen. If you don't have peace in your life and you're a child of God, it's because you've not spent time in His Word. You've not prayed. You've not fellowshiped. You've not worshiped Him. You've not been obedient. This morning, as I close all of these cities, these six cities, their names, what they point to, their descriptions. The whole point of this study is to show us that Jesus Christ is our all in all. And the purpose for the cities in the first place was for the people to flee to. And I tell you this morning, flee to Christ Jesus for holiness, to remove sin. Flee to Christ Jesus for association. Flee to Christ Jesus for a deep, firm foundation. Flee to Him to be lifted up into the heavenlies. Flee to Him for peace in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the name.